This is Pete Palmer, continuing on a second full tape with remarks and comments, particularly regarding question 9 in the letter that was mailed out by Jerry Subel, sent to me by Carl Hartzell. The other responses are on a short tape that accompanies this. Thus, I'm responding to what events, persons, and experiences stand out in my mind, and going back to the records that I have, as I mentioned in the previous tape, the events in those first 4 years that stand out in my mind probably can be classified into, well, I might say three groups. One is the construction confusion on campus. The second is the development of the residential colleges. And the third is the riot years and the effects that they had on everybody. So let me begin just reminiscing about construction. When I came, of course, we had very few buildings on campus, and we also had what was a pretty good deal for the faculty at the time, because we could get meals over in G or H dorm for a very reasonable price, like a dollar a meal, but excellent meals. It was really first class, and until I discovered I was metabolizing food more slowly than I was eating it, it was a really great way to go, to go over there every day and have those good lunches. Of course, we had to walk across campus, and we went from a handful of buildings to triple or quadruple that number of buildings in a 4 or 5 year period, so that on campus, everything was under construction all of the time. Roads were changing, ditches were changing, buildings were running behind schedule, classes were temporarily scheduled in one place and moved to somewhere else. Students couldn't get into the dormitories when they thought they could. The original master plan had serious deficiencies. If I remember correctly, the original piping system, drainage system on campus was inferior and had to be completely replaced. The wiring at one point was a parallel, it was series, I forget, whatever. It was a wiring so that when one traffic light went out, the entire suite of traffic lights around campus went out. And there were various other glitches like that that gradually had to be sorted out. We watched all of the buildings going up, changing walkways, getting back and forth from one building to another. It was often not the same way, even for one semester. And this contributed to, well, two moods, really. One was the sense that there was a lot of chaos, and the other was the sense that you were participating in something that really was growing. I think the students saw a lot of the chaos, and this didn't help their general morale at a time when there were national problems, and they fed each other to produce the riot problems that we had, particularly in from 1967 through 1970. Parking was also a bit chaotic, especially as the student body grew. Everybody wanted to bring their cars on campus and park as close to where they were going to go to class as possible. And that made it very difficult if you went away for any length of time, because you could come back to campus and find a totally different way to get on it and off it, and roads that you hadn't seen before, and former roads not there anymore. It was always an interesting time. But it was also exciting to watch our building grow. It started just a few months after I arrived on campus, and took a little over 2 years, well, really just about 2 years before occupancy, which was pretty good. And we really enjoyed watching it develop and making plans to move into it and make it into a very functional space. As with many things Ollie Schaefer did, he planned the building with one thing in mind and told the central administration something slightly different, so that he got the building he wanted in the space appropriate for the people he wanted and the work that he wanted, which he never would have gotten if he had been completely straight with the central administration. There are a number of things about the residential college program in that period of time that are fun to think back on. Of course, when we first got started, we were working in Roth Quad, which was then a brand new quad, opening up in the fall of 1967. And we moved into the buildings before they were really all complete, before the landscaping was done. And initially we had different, you know, girls' dorms and boys' dorms. We did not have the co-ed dorms. We chose a girls' dorm, and we were very happy with them, and we felt that over the 2 or 3 years that we were involved with the program, we had a pretty civilized group of students. I noticed in one of my sets of notes that 1 year out of the 8 RAs that were chosen for a subsequent semester, 5 or 6 had come from amongst our dorm, amongst the women. So we had generally a good bunch of students. They got, of course, deeply involved in developing program. We had good resources, and we had a number of interesting programs. We had a whole week on the Negro in America early on in the discussion and the problems of racial relations, and had a very good program, very good turnout. It was done by one of the black students in our dorm, who was an outstanding student at the university. We had musical programs and art programs and off-campus people coming in, and just lots of opportunities to do things with the students and enrich their lives. As we moved into the co-ed program with a certain amount of reluctance, we found that worked quite well and changed the interactions between the male and female students in many ways in a very good direction. Also, in the adjacent one of the dorms, I believe it was Cardozo, it was Gershwin College, they developed a small theater. Before we really had a good theater going anywhere on campus, one of the boys decided that he wanted to start a small theater, so they adapted part of the lounge area into a mini theater and had some really enjoyable productions that were put on by the students before we had an adequate space on campus in which to develop the kinds of theater, of course, that are available now. There was a lot of student participation and a lot of real enthusiasm for that. Another interesting item is that of many of the programs that we had, the topics of concern for the students were the same that they still have. We had programs on sex and sexuality. We had programs on the problems with the drugs. That much hasn't changed. Shortly after we opened Roth Quad and had the lake, we acquired the ducks from several families in the area who were trying to get rid of Easter presents. And I remember that there was one particularly bad winter when the students got very much concerned about the ducks and how they were going to survive, so that we ended up keeping the Roth Pond ducks in my basement and garage all winter long, and had quite a ceremony when we brought them back in the springtime and put them back in the lake. The most memorable, although not necessarily the most pleasant part of those years, was surviving the 67 to 70 riot years. I think I mentioned on the previous tape what I have, at least in my records, is the start of that action with the melee in front of the old library between the students and the construction workers in the Student Union building. This was followed about a month later by a very poorly timed drug raid by the county authorities toward the final week, or in the middle of finals week in January, that upset everybody and didn't contribute at all to improvement of student morale. Following that raid, of course, the entire spring semester was spent in a certain time of anxiety and discussion as we tried to figure out what to do with the problems of coping with the mud and the change and the general chaos. And it was that fall, I guess, if my notes are correct, that we actually took 3 days off during the semester and just stopped all activity to regroup, discuss what we might do. I think this was Sid Gelber's idea, and it was an excellent idea, and involved students and faculty in discussing how we cope with present problems and what we do about dealing with the future. The following spring, and my sense was that it was several springs, we had the riots that always seemed to come just before finals week, and many of us who tried to run our classes would just plan our courses to be done with all substantive work about 2 weeks before the end of the semester so that we wouldn't really lose anything if we were upset by the confusion. But we had some particularly disruptive times in May of 1969. And I can remember a series of faculty meetings, one that we had in the old gym, where the faculty was completely surrounded by hordes of growling students who wanted the faculty to approve all kinds of drugs and liberalize everything and do away with examinations and grades and everything that students found distressing. And the faculty being really unable to have an intelligent meeting under those circumstances. And then within a week or so, a few days after that particular meeting, we had another one outside in the ESS Plaza because there really wasn't room in the gym for all the grumbling hordes. And we were again surrounded by the students and I think passed some rather poorly thought-out resolutions with regard to the faculty attitudes, the administration attitudes towards disruptive behavior on campus. My notes indicate that we agreed that we would cooperate minimally with outside authorities in subjects such as this. It was a time of great confusion of all sorts, and it was particularly unfortunate for us that is for the ESS faculty, that as a result of the perceived failure of the faculty to handle the chaos, we lost one of our truly outstanding faculty members who decided he'd had enough and went back to industry where the world seemed a little bit more orderly. At the same time, during those 2 weeks when we were meeting inside and out, surrounded by the grumbling hordes, we were instrumental in discovering that there was a moderate group of students and faculty that wanted to do something constructive in this confusion. I remember, I think it was Jim Fowler and Dave Trask and myself and my wife and a bunch of the students. And we created a moderate students organization, got some help from the physics department for publishing some of the flyers, and eventually generated an effective counterbalance to the extremist position taken by a lot of the students and by the student government at that time, which resulted in some slightly more constructive activities as the next year came around. When we got to the fall of 1969, we had a lot of agitation to do away with the mandatory student activities fees. And then there was further trouble because the leadership of Polity, which had about $350,000 in activities fees, was attempting to spend those on their own political interests without any vote by the student government or anybody else that this was acceptable use of those funds. And one of the activities of the moderate student organization was to actually get a court injunction served on the Polity leaders, asking them to show cause why they shouldn't account for the way they were planning to spend those funds and have those agreement to spend those funds voted on by the student body. This resulted in a slightly more sane approach and an accounting of those funds and the beginning of a useful and constructive moderating activity on campus. I've always marveled at the way Johnny Toll survived all of the tremendous disruptions and pressures on him during those years when he was trying to build and was not getting a lot of support from areas of the faculty and had a lot of the students upset with him. And he had to proceed with the larger and grander goal of building a facility in which you can have the kind of programs that the student body, which has no sense of history, wants right now. I think that looking back on all of this, the campus would not be where it is now if we hadn't had that building program and gone ahead with it as it developed. We have a strong base. We've been able to get good faculty, and it surely is a university to be reckoned with, and that's no mean feat. Other features during that particular period of time on campus that are remembered, probably because they were more annoyances than really pleasures, were the problems of getting simple things through the bureaucracy. We would oftentimes, especially because we were recruiting very heavily, we had a lot of candidates coming through for whom we had honoraria and who had travel expenses and other things, and many, many times these people were 6 or 8 months getting their funds returned, and when this was graduate students seeking their first job, this was a lot of out-of-pocket money for them and created some real hardships for some people, complicated by the fact that the system would not permit us to get advances of funds to do the civilized thing and buy their tickets and get ourselves reimbursed. There were a lot of frustrations dealing with a bureaucracy that simply was not geared to cope. It was changing all the time, and the poor people who had to administer on campus had no stable base of procedures because the place was doubling in size, and procedures that worked one semester wouldn't be useful the following semester. But it seemed like we had more than our fair share of frustrations in trying to get what seemed to be very rational and civilized things accomplished in the New York State system. Some of the good things that came out of all of this were the growth, of course, and watching this place grow, and watching the faculty expand, and watching us seriously maintain a good quality level. And I remember one very good thing that came out of the riot years, actually, and I'm afraid we may have gone back to a real system in recent years, but it got so chaotic that we couldn't have a graduation ceremony as a campus, and we went to having graduation ceremonies by departments. That was a good idea, at least it was for us. We found that this graduation program, when we had it as a departmental graduation, kept most of our faculty there. The students came to graduation. They brought their parents to meet their professors. We were permitted to have speakers, and we had some excellent people. We had John Slaughter from National Science Foundation. We had one of the astronauts. We had some really fine graduation speakers. We had parents afterwards who commented that was by far the best graduation they'd ever been to. And I would hope that hasn't been lost if we go back to the traditional mass body graduation that we used to have, because that was one real high point at the end of the year for both faculty and students and parents. That's really just about all that I can put on the tape right at the moment. I have some more details on some events that are mentioned on these tapes if anybody cares, and I can be reached by phone at work, area code 303-447-0173, or at home, same area code, 443-1375. I'm sorry this is a bit late getting to you, but I had numerous interruptions as I was trying to wrap this up the previous weekend, and dealing with right now about 1,000 volunteers working on a project, I recognize that things don't always get done on the deadlines, so this probably won't be really too late. Good luck with the project. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I'll be looking forward to the results.
Oh, in the end of the week, that's Lana. I can't keep with it. Oh, I remember in September, it was so dramatic. It was so dramatic. we don't have to talk about it.
Awful of
you. Let's have a look. Can't have a look. Now, the same questions, but about yourselves.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll leave it up there. Maybe. You can leave me. Yeah. Свобода, да, freedom. Скажите, пожалуйста, вы живете всю жизнь в Денвере?
О,
всю жизнь в Денвере.
А где вы жили всю жизнь? Во многих местах.
А скажите, пожалуйста, где вы учились в школе?
Я учился в Королевском университете.
В школе?
В школе.
Где вы учились в школе?
Она заразилась от меня.
Я учился в Висконсине.
В Висконсине в школе, да? Хорошо. Сколько вам было лет, когда вы пошли в школу? Сколько вам было лет? Вам было лет, когда вы пошли в школу, начали ходить в школу? Сколько вам было лет?
How many years to you?
How old were you?
Oh,
that's how you say in English, right?
Oh, okay.
Сколько вам было лет?
Okay.
Когда вы пошли в школу? Пошли, started going.
Чем вы интересовались с детства?
Что такое с детства?
Космосом.
Интересно, конечно. Да, очень хорошо. Скажите, пожалуйста.
Да.
Вы замужем?
Да.
Вы замужем?
Да.
Замужем. Замужем.
Нет, да, 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 да.
The verb жениться, to get married, remember it. He is married. Он женат.
Он женат.
Женат. It's participle, late. Okay. But that is equivalent of he is married. Он женат. For a woman, выйти замуж. Выйти,
to go out,
выйти, замуж.
Замуж.
One word, замуж. Z-A-M-U-G, like муж, but замуж.
Okay.
If she is married, она замужем. Instrumental case. Замужем. One word, Z-A-M-U-G-E-M.
Замужем?
Да. Я замужем, она замужем, он женат.
Он женат?
Да, он женат.
Нет.
I'll take my hat to work on
that. Come on. Yeah, that's right.
Вы холост. Вы холостой.
Right.
Холостой.
Холостой?
Да. Холостой, bachelor, married. Холостой.
Холостой,
да. You see? They have kind of a cliché,
yeah.
An old unmarried man, старый холостяк. Старый холостяк. Старый, for example, старая дева. Старая дева,
old maid.
Да.
Извините, пожалуйста, мне нужно работать.
No, извините, Марк.
Хорошо,
tell Марк. So the next time. You have to know the vocabulary very well of the text and the dialogue.
Хорошо.
Read all the notes, everything that you have on these copies.
Хорошо. Это все?
Это все.
Хорошо. Спасибо.
You know what we need next time?
До свидания.
До свидания.
Старшая,
дочери,
дочь,
вот чем дочь.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Насколько он старше? Я плаваю. Вижу, плаваю. Да. А в бассейн?
бассейне?
Бассейн.
А где этот бассейн? У вас дома?
Во вторник. Да?
Мы увидимся во вторник. Да, 12 часов.
Да.
Значит, я хочу, чтобы вы очень хорошо знали текст и диалоги. Чтобы вам не надо было смотреть. Чтобы мы могли начать свои диалоги.
То есть,
да. That we can start our own dialogues. Just continue, but on the basis of those phrases.
Okay.
Хорошо. Я хочу, чтобы вы сначала рассказывали о Павле Андреевиче. First you will be talking about Павел Андреевич. But then you will start using the same about any other family member or friend or any other person.
Okay. Хорошо.
Look at the notes. Потому что один example which are not on the test, but maybe very useful. Also, on page, like 11, the very last page, there are kind of expressions that we have to know, but you know about 75%, maybe except приглашать друзей к себе в гости, приходите к нам в гости, передайте привет жене. Say hello to you. Why? You have to know all these nouns and expressions. Ничего.
Нет, ничего. Но нужно.
Да. Вы хотите платить каждый раз? You want to pay every time?
Yeah.
Да, would be good. Как хотите. Мне все равно. Мне все равно. It doesn't make it good to me. It's all equal. Okay. Мне все равно.
I'm interested. I'm curious. I don't know what the reasoning is behind it. We use х, like in хорошо, for the H sound. In English, but when you take the letter H in English, it comes out G in Russian. G for very thin, you know.
G
for very thin. But the sound to me is more like the H in хорошо than the G for the other in shifting from one language to the other.
You know that when you have H. Russians don't pronounce it at all. For example, Henry.
Give up Henry.
Or Henry.
This would be almost like French, right. Henry, without it. Mm-hmm. But it was German. Instead of German. They say German.
Yes.
That's what that was. He was very questionable.
Yes, I guess.
German means Hermann. Sounds more like it. He said Hermann.
You know,
you transliterate.
That would be probably my only guess. You know that Ukrainians and Russians pronounce differently ge.
Mm-hmm.
Russians say ge, gale.
Mm-hmm.
Ukrainians say gale.
Oh, okay.
And that was first accepted by all the Russians. That was mostly like Ukrainian. Those who were far to the north changed to ge.
Okay.
Any her became ge in Russian.
Okay, that answers my question.
When did that? I mean, how far back are we going when you said those to the north changed it to ge?
Well, I was talking about the real Russian. You know that there was first Kiev in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Kiev in Russia. And Kiev was built somewhere at the end of the, sixth century. And kind of the blossoming of Kiev in Russia was up to almost 12th century until the Tatar's yoke captured. Along with Kiev, there were very old cities, Novgorod, Pskov. They were very old cities, almost at the same time, but they were absolutely separated.
Well, yes.
When Kiev and Russia practically perished,
the Novgorod called Moscow raised their head and pretended to be the leading cities, mm-hmm. looking down at those mm-hmm. in the south and changing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Okay. Well, I wasn't aware of that. Mm-hmm. All right. When do you leave? На следующей неделе в субботу. На следующей неделе, next week, on Saturday.
Okay. Friday next week,
I'm going the whole day. I'm going to be in Oklahoma, so maybe we should just forget next Friday.
That's right.
If you're ready to go.
That's right. This meeting I normally go to at noon is going to be no match for the drive over there.
So we'll meet on Tuesday.
And then we will.
July 10th. If we still keep Tuesdays and Fridays, it will be July 14th.
That would be great.
And then we will not leave.
Then I don't have to leave anyway.
Yeah, we'll just go in and see.
Yeah. Are you going to be teaching a class back there at Greenbrook?
Yeah, я буду учиться. Я буду студенткой.
Yeah.
Это семинар. Онлайн-семинар преподавателей русского языка.
Oh.
Для советской культуры, философии.
Oh.
Неделю назад я получила вот такую коробку книг, и я должна их все прочитать к семинару.
Bunch of books that you have to read for the seminar?
I've got a whole box of books that I have to read for the seminar. Oh. But the things that it's a gift.
Mm.
The vendor is more than $100.
Mm.
Wow.
But I have to read them all.
Before you go.
Before I go.
Better go home and start reading.
I was trying to sort through and throw off some of my papers, and this is one of the Christmas cards, but it's still small as it was.
Russians would say Milaya.
Okay, dear.
Dear. Kind of really nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's a gushy hair. The Russian says latte. That's probably gushy.
Oh, too much.
Too much.
Too sweet. Too much, yeah.
Yes.
Too sweet. Not real. Usually for me, superficial.
Or and when they say Russian latte, chill out.
Yes.
That's what we're talking
about.
You'll
know
what you will find
in the
but it sounds too much nice.
I love